Good morning and welcome to another edition of Real Talk. I'm your host, Deborah Rose Pettigrew, and as always, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Real Talk to find out what's going on in the community and how it's affecting you. Now, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation launched its next step in the pursuit of racial equity for the nation, an unprecedented Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation, TRHT, enterprise that will help communities embrace racial healing and uproot conscious as well as unconscious beliefs in the hierarchy of human value. Now, over the last 9 years, the nation's sixth largest private foundation invested more than $200 million in organizations working to heal racial divides and eradicate structural bias in their communities. And here to talk to us about that this morning is Dr. Gail Christopher, who will become vice president of TRHT and remain a senior advisor to the foundation. Welcome to the show, Dr. Christopher.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So talk to us about the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and why it decided to launch this pursuit of racial equity for the nation.
The Kellogg Foundation is more than 80 years old, and our mission from our founder's mandate is to do what we could to foster the health, happiness, and well-being of children. And about almost a decade ago, we realized that most of the children born in this country are children of color, and most of them are growing up in low-income and impoverished communities. And so we just knew that our country had to deal with racism in order to make life better for vulnerable children. So this is the next phase of a long journey that we've been on that actually preceded 10 years ago. We were one of the largest funders for diverse communities in this country. And we just feel in order to achieve our vision and our mission for children, our country has to jettison the ideology of racial hierarchy.
Okay. So talk to us about how racial hierarchy plays a central role, say, in the social and economic and government in this country.
Well, we really do understand that this belief, which dates back to the 18th century, you know, to the 1700s, that this belief was part of the formative DNA of this country. A lot of people don't realize that the colonies united to preserve their right to own slaves. That was the primary motivation for the Union. So we know that this ideology has been part of our country. It's built into our structures. And we have made a lot of progress in trying to address the consequences of the belief, but we really haven't dealt with the belief itself. And we understand that what people truly believe unconsciously will show up, and it shows up in our persistent residential segregation. It shows up in the dynamics in terms of incarceration, mass incarceration. We've seen it most visibly and most tragically in the police violence that we've all had exposure to in the last couple of years, but has been a reality in our communities for a very long time. We see it in its consequences in the health disparities that are still very persistent, and most importantly, I guess, in the economic, or some people call it the wealth gap. But this patterned structure of racial inequality, it is a consequence of the acceptance of it. You know, on a deep level, we say that's okay for there to be this racial inequality. And we say that because we believe unconsciously and consciously folks have accepted the fallacy. And so that's the work, and that's the hard work of the TRHT. It's really a way of adapting the internationally recognized truth and reconciliation process that has been tried in over 40 countries around the world.
Wow. Now, you said something there that there's an unconscious belief that we have accepted the fact that, you know, the racial inequality is okay. That's a pretty daunting task to undertake in getting people to change their mindset, because this isn't something that just happened overnight. This is a process, a period that has taken years for us to get to this point. And so this is a big thing for your organization to do. And I think one of the things that you didn't mention was the educational system and
yes,
how
you're
that's
right.
a major role in the disparity between the races as well.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the term miseducation.
Yes.
And in terms of this work, it is really about changing hearts and minds. And we know a lot more today than we knew 50 years ago or 100 years ago about how the human brain works. We know a lot more about the psychology of human behavior and perception. We have funded some of that research around unconscious bias. And so the science and the practical methodology is emerging for how you change people's perceptions of one another. The media plays a very significant role in perpetuating negative stereotypes and shaping our perceptions. But probably most importantly, our human interactions shape our, or at least open our hearts to educating us and changing our minds about each other. And because we have such embedded systems of segregation, we don't really get a chance to interact with the perceived other and develop authentic, realistic narratives about each other's human experiences. So part of the racial healing work is creating safe spaces and intentional opportunities for people from diverse backgrounds to really reframe their understanding of each other's life experiences and each other's narratives. The work is built on a fundamental optimism, a fundamental belief in the goodness of humankind, but building upon that in structured ways to optimize that.
You know, just talking about not having an opportunity to interact with the other races, when I went away to college some 30 years ago, when I walked into my dorm room, my white roommate sat on the edge of her bed and her mouth just hung open, and it was as if she had seen an alien walk into the room, and I thought it was so funny because I hadn't
good for
met
you.
With white people either, but to see her reaction to me was just astounding almost.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, good that you had the self-esteem not to take that in a negative way, you know, in terms of your own self perception.
And that comes from having parents to instill certain things in you. But you mentioned just a moment ago about how the media plays a major role in this. One of the components that your organization is using is the multifaceted media campaign. Talk to us a little about that.
Well, we recognize that, you know, the dominant narratives of our culture are shaped by the media, the entertainment media, the news media, and of late, you know, social media. And so we want to be very intentional and deliberate about partnering with leadership within those industries. We have launched an online social media platform that's part of our work, which is called Remix the Narrative. And we invite people of all ages and all races to produce very brief videos that tell their stories. If you go to our website, wkkf.org, you'll see a link to Remix the Narrative. And we're really encouraging people to do that, to say, you know, who they are, how others might see them, but to counter that narrative with the truth about how they see themselves. Like your story about your roommate would be a perfect kind of story, you know. She didn't have a clue who you were. She was filled with perceptions and apparently maybe even fear. And those are the kinds of things we have to work on. We were interested in the Oscar, you know, issue and the persistence of a lack of recognition and inclusion there. It just so happened that conversation paralleled our release of our effort. But our country and the polling data is reinforcing this reality. There's a large number of Americans that are ready to do this work.
Okay, and I would imagine that's black and white and others.
Absolutely, and for the first time, you know, usually these polls that are done by Gallup and others, they will indicate a sharp divide between the perceptions about race in the black community and communities of color, and in the white community. Well, as you saw in our literature, for the first time, many, many polls, we commissioned a meta-analysis. For the first time, many polls show, even in the white community, that there's a growing readiness and consensus that we need to deal with racism. We are not post-racial, as people used to say before President Obama was elected. You know, back then, they said we were a post-racial America. But people realize we are not, and the centuries of embedding this belief in racial hierarchy, you know, we can't keep that alive in the 21st century.
Exactly. Now, you stated that a large majority of Americans are ready to deal with this, the racial bias in this country. How do you think race is playing a part in this particular presidential election?
Oh, dear. Well, it's evident that some candidates are choosing to play to the fears and to ignite the flames of division in our country. But there are others who are rising above that and appealing to our better angels, as it were. But we have this reality of fear. And you can leverage that fear and gain credibility with a segment of the voters. I don't think America as a whole will be manipulated that way, will allow themselves to be manipulated that way. But right now, some candidates, you know, they know which words to use to trigger those emotional responses.
Exactly. I love the fact that you use the word manipulated, because that's exactly what is going on here. All right, yeah. Dr. Christopher, tell us again where our listeners can go to get more information about all of this. Wonderful.
Well, it's the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and our website is wkkf.org. And we welcome people to learn more about what we're doing. And, you know, I spent many, many years in Chicago, over 25 years, so it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Wonderful. Well, we hope that you will come home soon. Come on back to Chicago. We miss you here.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing this great information with all of our listeners about the TRHT Enterprise.
Thank you for your interview. It's been a pleasure. Take care.
All right. Have a great day.